G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
So yeah, thank you guys again so much for this incredible opportunity to be here and to, man, you guys, how awesome has this been so far? Like, we have had some incredible words. And again, guys, it's about just encouraging and building one another up in the Lord. We, you know, tonight, you know what, you know, I felt, it's funny you were saying, you know, you kind of felt like Pastor Les had looked at some of your notes. Well, when you're on faith, when you're talking about faith, I mean, everybody's cross-referencing all kinds of things, right? I mean, it's such a massive topic, you know, but praise God, how many of you know you can never hear the Word of God enough? Hallelujah, right? I mean, you can never hear it enough. How many of you have listened to a message more than once? Yeah, amen. The Lord had me last month listening to a message. I'm going through a different teaching, a book that I had, and I went through that book, that one chapter. I think I probably went through it 15 times. Right? Because the Lord kept telling me, I want you to go through it again. I want you to go through it again. I was like, man, alive. You know, how many times I got to go through this? But it was awesome. It was really good. So praise God. So I'm excited to be here and excited to minister and be a part of this tonight. Let me just get my computer rolling. Hallelujah. Come on, work for me. There we go. All right, praise God. Well, I'm going to start off with some prayer. Father, I just thank you again so much for this opportunity, for this night, for all that you are doing in each and every one of our lives. I thank you for the seed that's being planted and sown into us, Father God. I thank you for the word that will never return void. I thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit magnifying your word and just speaking what needs to be spoken and ministering to our hearts. Just what needs to be ministered to our hearts that really needs to be just instilled in our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that you are using me as a willing vessel right now and that you're just ministering what needs to be said. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. So this is something like, you know, that we've been praying about and thinking about for quite some time. And I mean, faith is a big topic, you know, it's a big one. But I felt like the Lord really impressed on my heart to go right back to the beginning, and it's been touched on multiple times already, and so really the Lord is like highlighting this, and I feel like this is something we just need to talk about again. It's just, again, talking about the Word of God, the immeasurable, you know, incorruptible, imperishable Word of God. And if we understand that and really, really get it in our hearts, that we know 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 that we know, right, then everything else follows, right? What if somebody came to you, any of you, and walked up to you and said, you're not saved? Did you know that? Did you know you're not saved, right? And you'd be like, get out of here. Like, no, I am. But what proof do you have to show them you're saved, right? You can't prove to them, well, wait a minute, I got this certificate. Hang on. No, see, I'm saved. Jesus Christ signed it. Hallelujah. You can't do that, right? There's nothing you can do there. But you have God's word, and you have placed that in your heart to the point where you know that you know that you know that you know that you know. Nobody will tell you or can tell you that you're not saved. But why don't we treat the rest of God's word like that? And I'm going to get a little bit serious tonight, guys. We've had some really good times, and it's been good. But I feel like the Lord has really pressed this on my heart. It's something the Lord is just continually speaking to me on that I really feel we need to just grasp and we need to get a hold of, because that's where it starts. It starts with not doubting the Word of God, right? So I want to go, let's go to Mark chapter 4. And you guys all know where I'm going with this. We're going to go through this. And it was brought up today again already, you know? It's funny, even though, you know, the enemy gets at and he was like, you know, you don't even have a message. It's all been said already. What's the point of, you know? It's like, shut it. Get out of here, you know? So I'm going to read Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But the other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So here we are in the parable, right? And his disciples are like, "What was that about?" So then he goes on to explain, right? He says, "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." Okay, so just recognize that right there, the mystery of the kingdom of God, okay? "But to those who are outside, all these things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Okay? So then he moves on and says, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?'" So would it be safe to say that Jesus was putting a little bit of importance on this parable? You know, because he spoke in parables a lot, right? We can all agree on that, right? Okay. So he put some pretty big importance on this. "The sower sows the word." So then he goes on to describe it. "The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Okay? So Satan comes immediately. So what does Satan do? Right? John 10:10, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You notice that it starts with him stealing? It starts with stealing. Right? After he steals the word, then the others follow. Because you have no word to stand on. So his primary goal is to steal the word and to make it of no effect. Right? So he comes to steal the word, right? "These likewise are ones sown on the stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecutions arise, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." Right? "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word." They hear the word. "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful." So we talked about that, the cares of this world, the things that steal right from us. Then it goes on to talk about the good ground. And it says, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So I want to go through this parable, and if my computer will agree with me, there we go, hallelujah. I want to go through this parable, and I want to look at a few things, and I feel like the Lord's put on my heart some things to share with you guys about this. Again, this whole parable, we could all agree that it's based on the Word of God. And he said that this is the principal parable, right? So he's putting importance on the Word of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm just kind of going with what the Spirit leads. How many times, now I'm jumping ahead to my other message, but anyway, every time that Jesus was tempted by Satan, what did he do? It is written. You know, the Lord showed me the other day, I was thinking about this, he showed me the other day, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Can we agree that he heard from God? Yes. Right? Amen. Right? But even being the Son of God, hearing from God in a personal way, Like nobody else on the planet has probably heard from God, right? We can agree on that. What did he do to fight the enemy? He used the word. He didn't say, hey, my father told me this, and my father said this, and my father, no, he said, the word says, right? If Jesus Christ put that much importance on the word, hallelujah, how much more do we need to put the importance on the word and not doubt the word? He combated the enemy with the word. It wasn't with spiritual gifts. It wasn't with his knowledge. It wasn't with the words that God had given him. It was with the word of God that he combated the enemy. Man, that's pretty significant. Hallelujah. So when the word comes, what are you doing with it? What are we doing with it when we get the word? So often we see this and we just kind of, you know, we take it, I feel like so often we take it for granted, right? And we're going to go over some of this stuff. So first I want to look at the seed. Jesus said in here, right, the parable of the sower, Jesus said that the seed was the word, right? It is the imperishable seed, the imperishable seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says, and you guys can follow along with me, but for time's sake, I'm going to be going through a lot of scripture. So I'm just got it all in here. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God lives and abides forever. Amen. Incorruptible. If you look at the meanings of that in the Greek, incorruptible is not liable to corruption or decay, imperishable of things, immortal. It's not, there's nothing that it's immortal. It is absolutely immortal. And it's not, you know, it's not liable to corruption or decay. We live in a realm that operates on seed time and harvest. How many of you guys realize that? We live in a realm right now where seed time and harvest, everything operates on seed time and harvest. On our plane, right? It all operates on seed time and harvest. So if we understand seed time and harvest, and we understand the basic principles of farming, right? There's a lot to farming, right? There's a lot in farming. Even a lot of science behind farming, but there's a lot to do in farming. We operate on seed time and harvest as well. There will always be a planting, watering, and a harvest. It is God's word that lets us know what to trust him for. What do we know to trust God for? Well, it's his word. His word tells him what to trust us for, what to trust him for, right? Proverbs 30:5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Faith comes by hearing and knowing the word of God, right? Toward us. What is his promises? Toward us. Seed needs good ground to grow in. And I'm going to talk about the ground, right? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When we hear the word of God, what is that doing in our lives, right? When we hear that, how do you know what the promises of God are towards you if you don't hear it, right? When we hear the word of God, what it starts to do is it starts to place images on the inside of us. It starts to create a blueprint of how God is asking us, telling us to live our lives. Right? Because this thing has every key to success in life. Every single one. Right? But we just need to know it. Right? We need to know it. So we'll get that. So what are the things that are creating those blueprints in our lives? When that image is perfected inside of us, then faith grows. And faith comes alive. Right? Hearing and saying God's word will start to produce a blueprint. And if you follow that blueprint, the rest will come together. Faith grows when we hear the word. What seeds are we planting in our lives, right? What seeds right now are we planting in our lives? We are in a world that is so busy, so full of everything, hypersensitive, right? In every area, our senses are like overwhelmed, right? What are the seeds that are coming into our life? What is it we're allowed to come into our life? Even unbeknownst to ourselves, sometimes things are coming into our lives, right? It's the world we live in. It's one of Satan's biggest tools against us. It's just getting us filled with other stuff so that the word's not there, that we don't see it, we don't focus on it. When we're planting seeds, I just wanted to look at the fact, too, with a seed. Some seeds may take longer than others to grow, right? So again, we talked about the seeds and the importance of seeds. Some seeds are really small, some seeds are really big. That doesn't diminish the fact that it's a seed and it has life-giving power in it, right? So here's the thing. God was showing me the other day, some seeds take longer to grow. If I plant a wheat seed, I can see that in a season. I plant an apple tree, I've got a few years down the road before I can see that apple tree produce. Right? Right? Sometimes I feel like we plant an apple tree and we believe by faith that we're going to see a harvest by fall. But we've confused it and we've gone, wait a minute, well, God, why isn't my faith working? Why is it, and you know, and no, you planted an apple tree. Because how many of you know everything that God's created, right, operates within the principles, seed time and harvest, but there's also spiritual principles that come into play. There's physical principles, there's spiritual principles, and God will not override how he's created things to operate. He can't. He won't. So we have to operate within his parameters and how he's created things to operate. So sometimes we need to chill out, let our stuff grow. We'll talk about that a little more. The only purpose of God's promises is their fulfillment. What would be the point of God promising us a whole bunch of things if it was a maybe, could be, nice to have? What would be the point? There'd be no point. The point is to fulfill them. That's the point. And he wants to fulfill them more than we want to receive them half the time. Right? He does. He wants to bless us. God's promises are immortal. It's his word. They're immortal. They don't change. His promises are forever. Today, forever. It moves on and on and on. There are exceedingly great and precious promises that we have. Those are the seeds that we need to take a hold of. 2 Peter 1:3 says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. All things that pertain to life and godliness. That is a promise, and we can take it to the bank. Hallelujah. Amen? 2 Peter, and then 1:4 says, by which, having been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise God, I want to be a part of the divine nature. Right? And even if I don't understand everything that that is right now, praise God, I'm learning, I want to be a part of it, right? So I'm accepting that promise. They should remove all reason of doubt, God's promises. They give us the perfect reason to base our expectations. It's the perfect reason to base our expectations. God said it, right? And we've talked about this a few times already in this session, but guys, really, if you just get it in your heart. And we're all growing. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We're all growing. We're walking it out. But if you get it in your heart that you know that you know that you know that you know, and somebody comes up to you and says something that's contrary to the word, your response is no. No. Doesn't matter what you tell me. Because my mind says this. My Bible says this. This is the word of God. Right? Hallelujah. The big problem is that most of God's promises are never claimed by church members. They're not. Unfortunately, they're not. This is a big problem, right? They are seen as something nice to have. I grew up in the church, and I've been in a lot of churches. And, you know, healing was just it was a nice to have. Well, if it happens, praise God. God loves you, and that's just awesome. No, that's a bunch of garbage. You know, I was a kid, I was a teenager, and God started speaking to me on this, and I say to my parents, why do we put up with this? God's word says we're healed. Well, sure, yeah, we are, but we're living in a fallen world, and we're this, and we're that, and we're that. You know, and please, I love my parents. I'm not speaking ill against them. I'm just simply saying it's renewing our mind in the word, and when Jesus said it, when God said it, there is no other option. That's it. The options are off the table. You just heard it. You know, and sometimes when we start to get into the Word, praise God, do I say this? Hallelujah. When we know the truth, it's the truth that sets us free. But when we know the truth and we don't walk in it, right? God's not liable for that. He's not, right? We have to walk in it. That's our part. We have to walk in it. We need to believe and stand on the promises of God. That means standing in them and seeing them fulfilled. Standing in the promises of God are until it is fulfilled. If that takes 30 years from now, I'm standing in the promises of God because it will happen. I'm not speaking that, praise God, but it doesn't matter. When it's fulfilled, it's going to happen. And I'm going to stand in it. Hebrews 6:12 says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. Right? What does that word sluggish mean? Right? So I looked that up. It's basically being lazy. Right? Or stupid is what it says. Dull or slothful. Okay, I'm not going to call you stupid. So let's just stick with lazy and slothful. Dull. Dull. Okay? Not sharp, right? So really, the promises are ours. The big part is, a lot of times, we're lazy. Guys, I love you. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to stir you up. A lot of times we're lazy, and we live in a day and age in a society that is lazy, and everything wants everything brought to their doorstep. They want it done for them. They want it now. And they're not willing to do what it takes to get there. You know, so many people see people, you know, so many of the big ministers, now I'm jumping ahead, but anyway, so many of the people we see that God has used in the kingdom, right? We look at them and we esteem them in a high place. And I'm not diminishing the fact that they're called and anointed. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that were called and anointed out there, and they never got there because they didn't do what it took. Okay? It's true, right? Happy Caldwell, I don't know why this is coming up anyway. Happy Caldwell was in my class, and he was talking about when he started. This is a big minister in the U.S., and he was talking about when he started, and God, and he asked God, he's like, why me? Why'd you pick me? And God said, because you're number seven. He's like, I didn't pick you. You're number seven. And he said, what do you mean I'm number seven? And he's like, I called six other people before you, and they never accepted. You're number seven. Can you believe it? How many of you know God's going to get his will done no matter what? And he's looking for those men and women that are faithful, right? Faithful to the word, faithful to walk it out, faithful to do what it takes, right? And they do. You talk to these big men and women of God who have been used of God. They've placed the word, the most important part of their lives. Nobody's done it right all the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. We can all thank God for grace on that, right? But they walked it out willing to do what it took, not diverting from the word and walking through it. It says, right? It is the business of Christians today to prove by demonstration that the promises of God are just as much alive today as they were 2,000 years ago. Guys, you know, if we just walked through it, that would be a huge demonstration right there. People would see it. Our lives are to emanate Christ, right? Our lives are to be a witness for who God is, right? Man, praise God. What have I got for time? I'm not gonna get through this. Yes, I am. Praise God. I'm speaking this. You know, one of the things that hit me really hard one time was through all of this journey that God has taken us on, I felt called to ministry most of my life as a young kid, but it was a big, long journey to walk through and be faithful what God called me to do, right? And it wasn't always fun. It wasn't always great, but he told me to do it, so I did it. But one time, when God gave me a word and said, okay, start preparing, he goes, I'm going to start transitioning you. So I'm thinking to myself in my mind, I'm like, okay, how am I going to do ministry? I'm doing this. I'm doing full-time work. What do I need for ministry? And I go, my lightning fast brain goes, I need money. Right? Everybody needs money, right? And we do need money. Hallelujah. I'm not diminishing that. But my, you know, my brain's, so I say to my, I'm thinking to myself, okay, fine. Then I need to start a business and I'll make more money. And then the extra money from the business will support ministry. Got it. Right? Okay. Well, that was my idea. That wasn't God's. But he went along and he loved me the whole time. Right? But when it was all said and done, you know, I was ending the business. God, one day I just, it dawned on me. I was praying. What I was doing was concrete countertops, and I had this shop in the bottom of this building. There was no windows. It was like the dungeon. It was like my desert place. I had hours in this dark place, like doing concrete, just praying and talking to God. And one day I'm talking to him, and I'm like, God, was this it? Was this the idea? Like, I should have asked him that first. But anyway, you know, I'm like, is this it? Is this the idea? And he just kind of laughed at me, and I said, well, what do you mean? I was like, what are you laughing at? What do you mean? And he's just like, he goes, well, let me ask you a question. He goes, when business gets really successful, when are you going to find the time to do ministry? And I was like, huh? I never thought of that. You know, right? And there I am, sitting there going, man, this was a waste of time, you know? But God redeems the time, hallelujah, and his grace covers, I say this all the time, but his grace covers our stupidity, hallelujah, praise God, right? So anyway, so when that all shut down, this is what I'm talking about as far as our lives being a witness. I started talking to all these young guys who were firefighters, hey, you want to be a part of this? You want to get in on this? You want to get, and long story short, I had multiples of them tell me, what, we want to do what you do? They're like, ah, no, we don't want your life. Your life sucks. Because I was working all the time. Like Rebecca will tell you, it was like having another kid. I just got home because I would work the fire hall. Then I'd get home, I'd eat, and then I'd go to the shop. And then I'd go back to the fire hall, and then I'd eat and go back to the shop. And it was just like this rotation for like 2 years, right? And they go, I don't want your life. And all of a sudden, it just like, it almost crushed me. It was like, wait a minute, my life is supposed to be a testimony of Jesus Christ and the goodness of God, and the people I'm around don't want it. I'm like, what have I done wrong? Right? It really hit me hard, right? God loved me through it, but I was like, oh, that was a hard lesson to learn, Lord. Right? Because our lives need to be that testimony. So if we're just willing to walk out those promises and hang on to them, right? I'm telling you right now, you hang on to a promise and you got somebody asking you about that promise for 10 years, and at the end of those 10 years, you see that promise, they're going to think about what you were standing on, right? They're going to think about it. They're going to go, man, there's something about what they're believing because it came to pass. Amen? Amen. So as we go through this, let's keep going. Faith means that we are confident of what God has said, convinced of what we do not see. Many people are hoping for God's promises instead of expecting them. I really want to point this out. We need to change our mindset that what God has spoken over us is finished, not a nice to have. It's finished. It's done. Right? We should change our hope, right? We hope for what may be possible, right? But we expect what must be possible. So we hope, because we serve a God of the impossible, right? There's nothing impossible for God. I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. There's nothing impossible for me, right? Nothing impossible for him. So we use hope for what we deem as impossible, but we should expect his promises. Expect what his word says to be fulfilled. It's done. It's finished. It's a done deal, guys. It's finished. But we hope for what may be possible. We need to stop hoping for what God has already given and promised. We should be convinced because God, who cannot lie, has spoken. This should be settled in your heart and your biggest reason for believing. God, who cannot lie. He cannot lie, right? He can't. Everything would fall apart if he did. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. He cannot lie. So often, we try to be rational with our faith. It is not, as so many people suppose, believing without evidence. It's not believing without evidence, guys. We are believing because of the very highest evidence. The very highest evidence. God's word. That's the best evidence that we could ever have. Which is settled in heaven. The word talks about it. It's settled in heaven. Amen? Faith is being so convinced of the absolute truth of the declarations of God, which are recorded in the Bible, that we act on them. It's hard not to act on them. When we're so convinced of God's declarations, actions just happen. Right? Rebecca said it. So often, you know, we say faith without actions is dead. Well, if you just grasp God's promises, actions just happen. It's a natural reaction. It's just automatic. You don't have to work for it. If you're feeling like you have to work for it, you know, you need to get more in the Word. Because you don't have it in your heart. And that's no condemnation. We're all growing. But just wait till it's in your heart. Then when you act on it, the Spirit follows. Right? Because it's there. We must believe and settle God's Word as being the absolute truth. This is the first step in our faith. So this illustration, I really love this illustration of this. And I've used this a number of times now. But if my daughter, I went to my daughter and I told my daughter, hey, on the weekend, I'm going to go buy you a dress. So let's say it's Monday. And I tell my daughter, I'm going to buy you a dress on the weekend. How is she going to react? She's going to be excited. She's going to be like, really, Dad? You and me, we're going out? You're buying me a dress? Really, where are we going? And then she starts imagining, well, what kind of dress am I going to buy? What color am I going to get? And then she goes to school and she tells all her friends, I'm going to get this dress. I'm going out with my dad on the weekend. He's going to buy me a dress. You just wait. It's going to be awesome. It's going to look so nice. And she's excited about it all week long. She's talking about this dress, right? Then we get to the weekend, right? What do? I take her out and we go together and I go get her a dress and everything else, right? But here's the thing. She trusts me because she believes my word. She's treating me like a decent human being. A decent human being. But I'm flawed. I can lie. I cannot keep my word. There's a lot of things that can come in the middle of that. Right? A lot of things. When I was going over this, the Lord just spoke to me and he said, remember this. He said, she treats you like a decent human being, but he said, I'm not a human being. It's not even in my nature to lie, to not tell the truth. It's not who I am and never will be. What? Start, you know, if we just treated God like we do a decent human being, we'd be getting a lot further than we are. Amen? Why do we not treat God like a decent human being a lot of times? But we seem to have no problem trusting those that are around us that we're close to, saying, oh yeah, he'll stand by his word. But then when it comes to God and his promises, oh man, that's a tough one. I don't know. Well, I'm gonna work it out. It's gonna happen. It'll be great if it happens, when it happens. You know? We gotta treat God better than we do a decent human being. We need to start looking at the Bible and say that it doesn't contain the Word of God, but it is the Word of God. And it is. It is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is God. Amen? And as we read through it, God manifests. God's love is so much greater for us than a father's love. So much greater. We can't even comprehend it in our human peanut brains, right? But yet we comprehend human love, and we will treat humans, right? So we need to just, if we can grasp God's love and what that is, we would have so much of an easier time believing his promises. I'm just looking at what I got to skip. So the good ground. I want to talk about the ground. We are the ground. Seed is powerless until it is planted. all of God's amazing works are potentially in the seed. God's works can be prevented until the seed is in good ground. So you can have all of this awesome seed, but if it doesn't get planted, it's not going to do anything. Right? So what do we do? How do we plant the seed? We need to spend our lives making it possible, germinating ourselves to grow to the, so the seed can grow. Mark 4:20 says, and I want to go to Mark 4:20 because I want to highlight this, but these are the ones who on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and 100. Right? So the good ground is those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. So now let's go to Luke's account. Luke 8:15 says, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Okay? So I wanted to look at that. I wanted to just dissect that a little bit. Because it's saying here, the good ground are those that hear the word with a noble and good heart. So what's a noble heart? So I want to look at that. I was like, well, what does that mean? Noble, for the sake of time, just morally good. How many of you know that the enemy is trying to attack our morals at the highest level? Right? I mean, we're getting to the point where good is bad and bad is good. Right? Morals of every kind are just being crushed and destroyed. It's incredible. Right? So it's honorable. Conferring honor is what the noble heart is. So then if we look at the heart, the soul or mind, right? That's our soul or our mind. As it is the fountain and the seat of thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes. So one who is morally has a good heart, right? Accepts that. So that's the ground, right? That we're talking about the ground. How do we put the seed in the ground? Then it says those that keep it. So they keep it. So keep, other words for keep are possess, stay, take, have, make, hold fast. We got to hold fast. We got to hold fast the word. And if you keep it, right, that's good ground. You're holding fast. That seed is going to get planted. You're holding it, right? Keep secure. Keep firm possession of. Keep that seed secure. Don't let anything take it from you. Don't let anything steal from you, right? Luke 11:28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. They keep it. We got to keep it. We got to guard it. We got to keep it in our lives. 1 John 2:5 says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this, we know that we are in him. When you keep the word of God, we know that we are in him because we're keeping the word of God. So then the other part of that was the patience. And we talked about that a little bit today, the patience part, right? Hebrews 6:12 says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, right? James 1:4 says, but let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's a pretty powerful scripture. It just told us there that if you have patience, you can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My mind's still boggled by that. Patience being the key to being perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's pretty important, right? So what is patience? Steadfastness, consistency, endurance. These are all the Greek, abbreviations or Greek explanations of patience. A patient, steadfast waiting for, a patient enduring, sustaining, and perseverance. Perseverance, walking it out, being, having that perseverance. So I wanted, the Lord put on my heart when I was going through this. I spent a lot of years going through books. That was my first Bible college. That's what the Lord had me do. And so he reminded me of this story, and I wanted to find it for you guys. And it's talking about patience. So this was the story of a guy who was translated to heaven as a, I think he was 10 years old at the time. And he was translated to heaven, had this whole time in heaven with God, and it was an incredible experience. And I want you guys, I wanted to read this to you. So I'm just looking at where I want to start here. I'll start here. He said repeatedly, "I love my people so much. Why do people not take me at my word?" Let me go back. I want to go back. "Roberts, I love my people so much that I would go back to earth, preach my 3 years over again, and die for just one person. If I had not already paid the price for them, and if I thought they wanted to come to heaven, I would do it all over again. I would not have to know they would make it. If I just thought they wanted to come, I would do it for them, even if they were the greatest sinners of all." So at this point, I skipped a bit, but at this point he had looked up and he had seen Jesus crying. And Jesus was crying, and Jesus was taking him through heaven, and he was crying. He just started crying. He said repeatedly, "I love my people so much. Why do people not take me at my word? Do they not know that I have all power in heaven and on earth to back up what I say? It is so easy. I made it so simple. If people will just take me at my word, I will do what I say." Then he wept even more and said, "I do not understand why people say they believe. I will do something, but when it does not happen in their time, they begin to doubt my word. They will just believe and say with confidence that I will do it. If they would just believe and say with confidence that I will do it at the correct time." That was Jesus speaking to this little 10-year-old boy. And he's weeping, wondering, why are people just not believing me at my word? I will do it. It will be fulfilled. I am faithful to my word. Just stand your ground. Be patient. Have the endurance to walk through it. Continue moving forward. That's the good ground where the seed produces. You got to cultivate that ground. You got to get that mindset on the inside of you so that you have it and it comes to pass. Amen. Where am I at for time? I didn't even look. So then there's the watering of the seed. And this one was something that the Lord was kind of speaking to me on. And I wanted to go over this. So 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Right? So Paul came in, he planted a bunch of seed, Joel, and then he went and watered it. Amen? Amen. "If you abide in me," so John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." You will ask what you desire, it will be done for you. Every seed and plant in God's garden must be watered. So how do we water the seed? How do we water it? Right? If the seed is going to grow, the ground needs to be kept moist. Right? We all know this about seeds and moisture. And I'm going to skip a little bit. The water is the Spirit. The Spirit waters the seed. So when we come to the Spirit, what is hindering the Spirit? If you think about it, what hinders the Spirit in our lives? Right? Abiding in the Father and His words, walking in His commandments. God gave us commandments because they're good for us. Right? We're not, praise God, we're not under the law anymore. Right? Hallelujah. But the law was a reflection of God's grace on us, and it was a reflection of like how we're to live. Because it's good for us. It wasn't because he was just trying to give us a whole bunch of laws. He didn't want to give it in the first place. But he knows what's good for us. So he's saying, hey, just do this. It's going to be awesome, right? But that's why we have to walk. We have to love his word, love his commandments. 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatever ye ask, ye receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Watering the seed is as necessary as planting it. Many times, the seed will not grow because it is being starved of water. So the seed will be in the ground, but it's not producing anything because it's starved of water, right? And what is that? Again, it's the Spirit. God makes the seed grow when it is kept in good ground and watered. The more we follow God's instructions for life and stop suppressing the Spirit with our own fleshly desires and ambitions, the more opportunity the Spirit has to water the ground. Okay? So again, we're covered by grace. Hallelujah. God has blessed me, and I don't have to worry about sin in my life anymore. Right? But how many of you know the Word says consequences of sin are death? Now that's physical death and spiritual death. And God's not condemning us for it. He loves us anyway. But He gave us His commandments and a way to live our life because it's good for us. Right? And if we continue to not water that seed, it can sit there an awful long time. Right? And not go anywhere. So we need to learn to water that seed. What has separated many great men and women from God, again, and I had said this already, was the importance of the Word of God. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, it's talked about that, you know, he never read anything else other than the Bible, wouldn't even let a newspaper in his house. Right? Why? Because he put that much importance on the Word of God. Now, am I saying that's every one of us, our journey? No, that's not all of us, our journey. But it's, again, just showing the importance that he placed on the Word. And God used that. We need to keep our importance of the Word in our lives the highest priority next to our relationship with the Father. I want to look at David. David, you know, David screwed up in a lot of ways. But guys, you know what? That guy, God alone said that he had the Father's heart. Why? Why did he have the Father's heart? I want to read a bunch of these scriptures to you real quick. I'm not even going to tell you where they're from. They're all in Psalms. Hallelujah. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The endurance of your words give light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Is this great treasure to us? Yes. Amen. But do we see it as that? Do we see it as great treasure, or are we taking it for granted? Amen. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all of your commandments are righteousness. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. David spent days praising God and thanking God for his commandments, thanking God for his word, placing that importance on his word. And God said he had God's heart. He had that relationship. He magnified the word above everything else. Did he do everything right? No. But God's grace covered that. David was one of the first ones to have an understanding of grace, really, if you look at the Psalms, right? Right? Now, the fears the Lord, this will bless you guys, where it says fears the Lord. I heard this explanation. You know, you get a lot of things about fearing God. What is fearing God about? Really, one of the simplest explanations of the fear of the Lord is just placing God's word above every other circumstance in life. That blessed me when I heard that. I was like, amen. That's the fear of the Lord. It's having a reverence for the Lord, having a reverence for the word, the authority that's behind it. You know, the centurion had great faith. Why? Because he understood the word that Jesus Christ had. He understood the authority behind it. And he believed it. Because that was something that was instilled in him as a soldier. He understood authority. He understood rank. He understood when his superior said something, it was done. When Jesus said something, it was done. That's the authority. That's what we need. That's the heart we need to have. He didn't even have the word to go by. He was in the army. And Jesus said, I've never seen such great faith. Not in all of Jerusalem. Really? Right? Wow. That's awesome. So watering the word is obeying God, loving his word, and aligning yourself with the Spirit. The Spirit will magnify the word. Man, then we go into the harvest. Sorry, how much time do I have? Yeah, okay. Well, what's that? He never says that to me. Amen. Ask and you shall receive. Hallelujah. There you go. 2 Peter 1:3 says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. It's the knowledge of the word of God that is going to set us free, right? What God has promised belongs to us. His promises are given to his children. They're promises. It's already done. It's given, right? John said that he is faithful and just. In John chapter 1 John 1:19, it says, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful and just. So wouldn't it be safe to say then that if God is faithful and just, he'd be unjust to not fulfill what he's called, his promises were towards us? Right? He'd be unjust. It's simple. The simplicity of the word, guys. Really, it's the simplicity of the word. If he's just, then it'd be unjust not to fulfill it. So what are we going on about? Seriously, you know, we give so much attention to, like, not understanding and like, giving attention to these things that are attacking us in our lives. But if we really, you know, I heard something the other day. It was really cool. Man, who was that? Anyway, I think it's great. Whenever the enemy comes to attack you, if you start saying to him, man, thank you. You are giving me an opportunity to prove God. You know, when I first got here, I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things that had to happen. And I was praying, you know, you pray in the spirit sometimes, you just pray and you're praying, all of a sudden something comes out of your mouth and you're like, where'd that come from? Right? I was praying, and all of a sudden I just heard, and I continually try to maintain an attitude of praise. Right? Because there's a lot of power in praise, guys. So much power in praise. I heard a story one time that somebody had a vision. He was up in heaven, and God stopped all of heaven and said, quiet, quiet, quiet. Stopped all of heaven to hear the praises of one person that was going through some serious trials and tribulation. That's how much it blesses his ears. Look at Paul and Silas. They had no reason to praise God sitting in that cell. No reason. They weren't expecting a miracle. They weren't expecting God to do anything. They just loved him. They were just happy to be a part of what God was doing. And that opened a door. Wham! The Spirit came in and the doors were flung open. So we need to maintain an attitude of praise. It's a huge thing. And now that I'm off that rabbit trail, right? It will then stand to reason that God needs to be faithful to his word, right? Amen. We have a right to what God promises us. 100% right. 100% right to what God promises us. Each and every one of us. God is the best farmer in the universe. Hallelujah. He is the best farmer. Look at the crops out there. It's incredible. Right? God's promises are for today. It says that now is the acceptable time. Right? In 2 Corinthians 6:2. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You will have them. Faith says, before the answer is manifested, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. This is so awesome. You know the story of Lazarus? Jesus goes and raised Lazarus? That took like days. But at the very beginning, they came to Lazarus and they came to Jesus and was like, your friend's going to die. And he said, no, this is not unto death. His words instantly were life. This is not unto death. Then the next thing he says, they come tell him he's dead, and he says, no, he's just sleeping. And then he gets real with his disciples afterwards, and he says, no, he's died. Now, I've heard things about that. Jesus said he's died, but he also said it's not unto death. You know? So there was not death. But then what does Jesus do? He gets there at the tomb, and he just says, before they open up the tomb, and he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He had already set the whole stage days in advance before he even got there. And his faith and trust was in God, that God had heard what he had had to say and that he was going to be faithful to his word. Amen. That's just awesome. So often, you guys, we need to set the stage. And if that stage takes 20 years, do it with endurance. Do it with an excited expectation. Hallelujah. When God, I asked God, I said, God, when I finished my cabinet making, I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do now to get into ministry? And he said to me, be a firefighter. And I went, no, you missed it. I'm like, what are you talking about? You said, you meant Bible school, right? You meant like doing something else. He said, no, be a firefighter. like clear as ever, right? And I was like, okay, well, I can't deny that. All right, well, you know what you're doing. Okay. You know, my family thought I was crazy. I quit my job. I went and started going to the fire school. That was a lot. It was expensive. It cost me $10,000 just to go to school. That's just to get your schooling so you can put in an application to even try. That doesn't guarantee you a job. And it is one of the most competitive fields out there, right? Tons of people want to do it, right? But I was like, well, God, you told me to do it. Now, I could go on and on and on about how God manifested that and everything that happened after that. But he was preparing for everything that needed to happen and for where we are now. Walking that out and being faithful. 12 years later, still standing on the word of God, we finally started moving into the next step, into the next stage. But it's going, that's faithful endurance. Walking it out. Those that are faithful with little will be put over much. Right? Just be faithful. Just be faithful with God, where God's placed you. Learn to be faithful and you will get to where you need to go. Don't put time limits on it. Don't worry about the time. Right? You were saying, look, it was Moses, right? He's like 80 years old before he started his ministry, right? Took him a long time. He wasn't a very quick learner in a lot of ways, right? Took him a long time, right? And a little stubbornness. So just walk it out. Walk it out. When we cannot see or feel anything, that is a time to trust God at his word. We must believe God at his word and continue to believe. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. We have to continue to believe. Smith Wigglesworth once said, I understand God by his word. I cannot understand God by impressions or feelings. I cannot get to know God by sentiments. If I am going to know God, I am going to know him at his word. Look at his ministry. Look at how God used him. And his importance was on the word. It had nothing to do with his feelings. He wasn't waiting for the anointing to fall. He wasn't waiting for... And please hear me, I'm not negating that, okay? I'm nothing against that. But his main focus was the word. There's so many times he's on a bus and somebody comes in. And he'd be like, hey, you know, the word says this. Hey, look, right here it says that you can be healed and all that. And then they were healed. You were just talking today. You know, T.L. Osborne... All of those crusades that T.L. Osborne had, hundreds of people were healed simply by, he didn't lay hands on all of them. He simply said, hey guys, guess what? The word says this. God said this. Accept it. Take it. And hundreds of people are just healed on the spot right in the crusades. God gets the glory for that. But it was God's word being ministered that spoke into their hearts. They accepted it. They took that promise and they saw themselves healed. Right? We need to place that importance on that too. I'm not against being led by the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to be watering ourselves with the Holy Spirit. But if you've got the importance of the word solidified in your heart, there's nothing impossible for you. Nothing impossible for God. Right? Because he's got every promise in here. He hasn't missed a single one. Right? Not that I can find. Everything's in there. Amen? This is all we need to put faith in. His word. Put faith in his word. Believe it. Stand on it. If anything, guys, it's just, again, believing God cannot lie, that he is not a liar, that he loves us, and that his word is truth. His word is truth. It's the incorruptible word. It's immortal. It will not change. And he stands by it. You know, they talk about, I'm not going to get into this, but they talk about like ministering angels, just waiting for you to speak the word, to go and do what they need to do. No, and we can actually see some of that in the word of God. You know, Daniel praying and the angels going to heaven and trying to get things done, right? There is some legitimacy, thank you, to that, right? They are. They're waiting for us to speak the word because they have to act on the word because God's word will never return void, right? If you know what God will do, he will do it, right? If you don't know what God will do, he's under no obligation. That's a phrase from Charles Caff. He's under no obligation. If you don't know what God will do, he's under no obligation to do it. He wants to do it. He's already given it to you. His promises are sitting there. So often we're waiting for the promiser to fulfill the promise, but it's already there. It's us to take it. and put it in our lives and make it so. Right? Because he's waiting for that. Jesus left and said, I've given all dominion to you. We've been given dominion on the earth now. Yeah. We've been given dominion. Yeah. We're to walk as Jesus walked. So we accept the word and we walk in it. Amen? We need to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 10:36. I'm going to end with this. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. All of the promises you will receive, you run with endurance. Have that endurance. Stick it out. Stick it out. Stick it out to the end. And you know what? People will see start to stuff happen in your life. You know, our lives will be a witness to people around. There's something about that guy. Everything he does, even when it doesn't seem right, he's like happy. You know, it's like, you know, what drug did your doctor give you? Like, man, I'm kidding. You know, I joke about that, but God gave me an opportunity to minister to a bunch of neo-Nazis for like a couple years. It was like me having coffee with like 10 neo-Nazis in a coffee place, right? It looked pretty weird. But really, we had these awesome conversations. And, you know, they were into everything, right? But they'd laugh and they'd joke about me, you know. They'd be like, oh, yeah, we're going to go, you know, what do you got for this weekend? Oh, you got some weed, you got drugs. And then they'd look over at me and they're like, ah, Fenske doesn't need anything. He's always high. You know? Praise God. That's the example that we can set. Now, again, I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. You know, I've got my days just like everybody else, right? But that's what we can be expecting. There's the joy of the Lord is our strength. If we understand his promises, then the joy is just overabounding within us because there's nothing that we're lacking. We've got it all. It's all there. It's us. It's for us to take. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He will do it. He will fulfill it. He will finish it. I love this statement by T.L. Osborne, and this is where I'll end it. You do not need to pray for faith to believe that God told the truth. It's that simple. You don't need to pray for faith to believe that God told the truth. If you can just simply settle in your heart that God told the truth, and that when somebody questions you about your life, you know that 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 you know that, you know that this is where you're standing. Well, then it doesn't matter what you're seeing around you. We don't live by, you know, sight. We live by faith. We live by the word of God. We live by what God has spoken. Right? Amen. Stand on the word, guys. We need to stand on the word. We need to put the importance on it. Because that's everything that God has given us that contains to life and godliness is in this word. And if we believe God at his word being the first thing, we just walk it out. Everything else just happens. It'll all come together. Amen? Do I have time to show one thing? What have I got? Okay. I just wanted to end with this song. I want you guys, if we can hear it, I want you guys to just listen to the lyrics. You guys hear that? Did you hear the lyrics? Somewhat? Kind of? Yeah? You guys got it? I'll just read it really quickly. You will stay true even when the lies come. Your word remains truth even when my thoughts don't line up. I will stand tall on each promise you made. Let the rest fade away. There's a peace far beyond all understanding. May it ever set my heart at ease. Dare anxiety come, I'll remember that peace is the promise you keep. Peace is a promise you keep. You will stay true, even in the chaos. Your word remains truth, even when my mind wreaks havoc. I will be still, for I've known all along my Jehovah Shalom. There's a peace far beyond all understanding. May it ever set my heart at ease. What anxiety fails to remember, in peace is a promise you keep. Peace is a promise you keep. You are peace to a restless soul, peace when my thoughts wage war, peace to the anxious heart. That's who you are. That's who he is. He gives us peace. Peace is where he operates from. He gives us everything we need for life and godliness. Amen? Yeah. Stand on that word. Stand on his word. And if you don't quite know, get in the word. Get to know the promises that you can stand on. Amen? Settle it in your heart. Praise God. Amen.